Okay, we'll be in chapter 23 of 1 Samuel this morning. Then they told David, verse 1, then they told David, saying, "Behold, the Philistines fight against Keilah, and they rob the threshing floors. Therefore David endured of the Lord, and inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I go and smite the Philistines? And the Lord said to David, go and smite the Philistines, and save Keilah. And David's men said to him, behold, we be afraid here in Judah. How much more if we come to Keilah against the armies of the Philistines? And David inquired of the Lord yet again, and the Lord answered and said him and said, arise, go down to Keilah, for I will deliver the Philistines into your hand. So David and his men went to Keilah and fought the Philistines and brought away their cattle and smote them with a great slaughter. So David saved the inhabitants of Keilah. And it came to pass when Abithar, the son of Ahimelech, fled to David to Keilah, that he came down with an ephod in his hand. And it was told Saul that David was come to Keilah, and Saul said, God has delivered him into my hand, for he is shut in by the entering into a town that has gates and bars. And Saul called the people together to war to go down to Keilah to besiege David and his men. And David knew that Saul secretly practiced mischief against him, and he said to Abithar the priest, bring hither the ephod. Then said David, O Lord God of Israel, thy servant has certainly heard that Saul seeks to come to Keilah to destroy the city for my sake. Will the men of Keilah deliver me up to his hand? Will Saul come down as thy servant has heard? Lord God of Israel, I beseech you, tell thy servant. And the Lord said, he will come down. Then said David, will the men of Keilah deliver me and my men into the hand of Saul? And the Lord said, they will deliver you up. Then David and his men, which were about 600, arose and departed out of Keilah, and went whithersoever they could go. And it was told Saul that David was escaped from Keilah, and he forbore to go forth. And David abode in the wilderness in strongholds, and remained in the mountains in the wilderness of Ziph. And Saul sought him every day, but God delivered him not into his hand. And David saw that Saul was come out to seek his life, and David was in the wilderness of Ziph in the wood. And Jonathan's son Saul rose and went to David into the wood and strengthened his hand in God. And he said unto him, fear not, for the hand of Saul my father shall not find you, and you shall be king over Israel, and I shall be next to you, and that also Saul my father knows. And they too made a covenant before the Lord, and David abode in the wood, and Jonathan went to his house. That then came up the Ziphites to Saul to Gibeah, saying, does not David hide himself with us in strongholds in the wood, in the hill of Hachilah, which is on the south of Jeshimon. Now therefore, O king, come down according to all the desire of your soul to come down, and our part shall be to deliver him into the king's hand. And Saul said, blessed be ye of the Lord, for you have compassion on me. Go, I pray you, prepare yet and know, and see his place where his haunt is, and who has seen him there, for it is told me that he deals very subtly. Therefore, and take knowledge of all the lurking places where he hides himself, and come ye again to me with the certainty, and I will go with you. And it shall come to pass, if he be in the land, that I will search him out throughout all the thousands of Judah. And they arose and went to Ziph before Saul. But David and his men were in the wilderness of Maon, in the plain on the south of Jeshimon. Saul and his men went to seek him, and they told David wherefore he came down to a rock and abode in the wilderness of Maon. And when Saul heard that, he pursued after David in the wilderness of Maon. And Saul went on this side of the mountain, and David on that side of the mountain. And David made haste to get away for fear of Saul, for Saul and his men compassed David, his men round about to take them. But there came a messenger unto Saul, saying, haste thee and come, for the Philistines have invaded the land. Wherefore Saul returned from pursuing after David, and went against the Philistines. Therefore they called the place Selah Hamah Lekoth. And David went up from thence and dwelt in strongholds in En-Gedi. Whew, there's a mouthful. Now let's see what it is. I told you as we talked this morning, as we shared, this is about you and I. This is an internal working inside of our lives. There's no benefit to me to know that this happened to King David thousands of years ago. But I need to know that the same patterns that David followed is the same traps that I can fall into. And the same overcomings that David had are the same overcomings that I can have. Do you hear me? See, I can see the same thing that David did. And I can see me doing some of those same things. And I can see me overcoming in those places that he overcome. And that's what you have to do. You have to take David's place and see that this thing is transpiring within your life today. And we've been talking about it all morning, and I'll show you as we go through the scriptures. And if you back up and see the last part, David had Abiathar come and told David that all the priests had been killed, right? Okay. And David told Abiathar, said, you just stay with me, don't fear anything, and your life will be safe with me. And in reality, that was saying, that was the Christ within you speaking, saying, you abide in me and you'll be all right. True? That's what God's saying. If I abide in Christ, no one can touch me. Okay? Now we go into the 23rd verse, chapter rather. And then when they told David, saying, behold, the Philistines, that's the dust mites, you know, fight against Keilah. Keilah is a fortress. And they robbed the threshing floor. Do you realize what this verse is saying? It's not literally talking about a threshing floor. It's not literally talking about a great big fortress. But spiritually, it's talking about your mind. And these Philistines are thought processes in your carnal mind. And guess who they're attacking? The fortress, the Spirit of God within you. Okay? That spiritual thought process within you. And they're robbing the threshing floor. The threshing floor was a place where the grain was threshed out. Well, wonder where the thought processes are worked out. In your mind. See? So it's being worked out. We think and process all this information to get the word processed into us, don't we? And where is it stored? In your mind, in that thought process. The threshing floor represents our mind and all this stuff being worked out in us. Okay? And therefore David inquired of the Lord. Now there's a man. The first time he finds out we got a problem, he didn't say, boys, let's take a vote and see what we should do today. What was the first thing he did, Bob? He went to God. He said, let me inquire of the Lord and see what God wants done in this situation. See, there's the shows you that this man has potential as the Son of God in first fruit. His first direction is not toward humanity, but it's to God. And usually in natural man, the last place man goes is to God instead of the first place. And he said, he inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I go and smite the Philistines? And the Lord said to David, go and smite the Philistines and deliver Keilah. Keilah is a fortress. You want to deliver your fortress? You got one thing you've got to do. You've got to get them dust mites out of your head. You've got to get them carnal thinking processes out of your mind and be replaced with the mind of Christ. What was the verses you just read over, Bob? Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. See? My mind has to be renewed. It can't be thinking the same way it was thinking when it came into this world. It's got to go out in a better shape than it came in. Okay? And David's men said to him, behold, we be afraid. If we're afraid standing in Judah, how much more if we come to Keilah, the fortress, against the armies of the Philistines? Fear. There's what the carnal mind brings to you. This is a man who already knows God, but yet we still have fears within our life, true or false. But perfect love does what? Casts out all fear. So something tells me we're still not in total perfection yet if we have fear, right? So we've got to go progress in our lives to get the rest of this out of us, right? It's a daily walk to get rid of this fear. And we have to come to the place where whatever God says, that's the end of the discussion. There's no discussion to it. God said it, and that's it. And David inquired of the Lord again. Now, you know what David did? He responded to the pressures of his thinking process versus answering directly to God, didn't he? He started out that way, but then doubt crept in his life through his men, and he went back and said, God, are you sure this is what you want me to do? Didn't he do that? He went right back and said, now, God, I heard you the first time, but my men are scared, so what should I do? See, he wasn't sure, he wasn't confident. See, he wasn't confident in what he heard from God. It's a process to learn the voice of God. My sheep hear my voice and the voice of another they will not follow. See, I won't follow the voice of my mind, but I will follow the voice of God within me. That's what he wants you to do. And David inquired of the Lord yet again, and the Lord responded to him and said, arise, go down to Keilah, to the fortress, because I will deliver the Philistines in your hand. Now notice this. Whose battle was it? It was God's battle. He said, I'm going to give them into your hand. He was in control of the whole thing, wasn't he? He said, you go down and do what I tell you, and I'll deliver them into your hand. What's that telling you in your life? What's that telling you, Jenny? If God says, you go down and do something, and I'll deliver your enemy into your hand, what's he telling you? He's got the control. You have nothing to fear, right? See, and you got to take that in your life today. See, fear is going to be the great opposer in everything that God tells you to do. See, if God is for you, who cares who's against you? See, listen to what God says. When God says do it, then do it. Don't think about the fear. Don't listen to that fear that comes to minister to your mind as soon as you start. As soon as you hear God, the opposition is going to come. See, destroy that thing. See, man should not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. There's my life. There's how I live. Okay? So David and his men, or his disciples, that's Christ and his disciples, went to the fortress. And they fought with the Philistines and brought away their cattle and smote them with a great slaughter. Now, why in the world, what spiritually has cattle got to do with me overcoming in my mind? Cattle is what? It's a beast nature. So they went in there and they brought away the cattle, the beast nature. When David, Christ, and his disciples do their job, guess what will not be resident in your mind, Bob? The beast nature. It will be taken away and slaughtered. See, these are spiritual things. We're not talking about the natural things. A cow means nothing to me but a hamburger or a steak or a meatloaf. Yeah. It doesn't mean anything spiritual to me like that in the natural. But spiritually, it means a beast nature is going to be taken away and slaughtered. That means it's no longer going to be resident in me, and that ought to make you happy. So David delivered the inhabitants of the fortress. Now wonder who the ones is that in the fortress. No. The ones in the fortress that were delivered. The first fruit, sons of God, see? So he set them free. And that was Jesus' purpose from the very beginning, was to come to a place to find the first fruit. He said, I've already been sent to the first fruit of the house of Israel, see? The children of the house of Israel. Not to the whole world yet. He was sent to first fruit. Not the natural Jew, but to the spiritual first fruit, the spiritual Jew. And it came to pass when Abiathar, which means my father is great, the son of Ahimelech, the brother of the king, the brother of Christ, fled to David, who was Christ, in the fortress, that he came down with an ephod in his hand. Now all the priests were slain except for one. But you know what? This priest didn't have possession of this ephod just exactly the way he should have. What does it say in the scripture he had? Somebody read it to me. Out loud. He came to David, the last part of it, and it says, verse 6, with an ephod what? Well, guess what? This man didn't want to be priest. Too much had happened. And this man didn't want the opposition because he was carrying the ephod in his hand. The ephod should have been hung on his shoulders in a place of responsibility. You see what I'm saying? This is a man who watched all of them being slain and said, I'm taking the ephod off. That's how they identified me.
What's the ephod again?
Ephod is a breastplate worn over the shoulders, a place of responsibility on the priest. It identified him as being a priest. It was made by of linen. Righteousness was hung upon him. And he took that off because he didn't want to be identified and die. You see what I'm saying? You know how many people do that when the pressures get tough? You can't do it. Don't do it. Let them do what they got to do. If they want to slay you, let them slay you. Don't take the ephod off. But this man, Abiathar, didn't want to be a priest any longer. And it was told to Saul, and Saul was the Edomite, you know, that David was come to Keilah, to the fortress, that Christ was come to the fortress. And Saul said, ha-ha! God has delivered him into my hand because he is shut up in a way entering into a town that has gates and bars that he can't get out. Well, of course, the natural mind always thinks they got God trapped in a corner, don't they? But God's always got a way to deliver someone. Always a way to get you a way of escape. He said, I'll never put anything on you, but I'll always leave you a way to escape. So, and Saul called all the people together to war to go down to Keilah, to the fortress, to besiege David and his men, Christ and his disciples. Okay? Within you. The Christ and you, the disciple within. And David knew that Saul was devising evil against him and said to Abiathar, the priest, bring hither the ephod. Then said David, O Lord God of Israel, your servant has certainly heard that Saul seeks to come to Keilah, to the fortress, to destroy the city because of me. And this is what David asks. And this is what a lot of times we ask. Will the men of the fortress deliver me up into his hand? In other words, when you come and do somebody a good thing, when the pressure comes down, do they remember what you've done for them, or are they willing to deliver you up? Who can you trust? It's another word for it. The only one you can trust in is God. What did Joshua say? As for me and my house, we're going to trust in the Lord. See? Whatever you do, that's your business, but I'm going to trust in the Lord. And that's what he's telling us here. So he says, will the men of Keilah, the fortress, deliver me up into his hand? And will Saul come down as thy servant has heard? O Lord God of Israel, I beseech you, tell your servant. And the Lord said, he will come down. He's a-coming. You can take this to the bank that Saul, the carnal mind, is going to attack you from the time you get up every morning till the time you go to bed. It's relentless within you. The accusations come, don't they? The attacks come within your mind. And all he's trying to tell you is here, just like God said, he's coming. He's coming. What are you going to do about it? Are we going to run and hide in a cave? That's what David did. Was that the wise thing to do? See? He didn't put the linen ephod on, did he? I don't see anybody here wearing that righteousness of Christ, do you? And then said David, will the men of Keilah deliver me and my men into the hand of Saul? And the Lord said, see, he said it a second time, they will deliver you. They'll deliver you up. You're only supposed to be trusting in God, and he's trusting them men in that fortress to take care of him. They won't do it. And then David and his men, which were about 600, six being what? Number of man, arose and departed from Keilah, the fortress, and went out, right? Went whithersoever they could. And it was told Saul that David was escaped from Keilah, and he forbore to go, or he stopped chasing after him. He didn't go after him anymore. And David remained in the wilderness in strongholds and remained in the mountain in the wilderness of Ziph. Now notice what he said. Even though David was anointed king, you've got to know that you have been anointed. You can't say, I hope someday when I die and fly and get up there in my log cabin, I might get some oil slapped on my forehead. Because that's not going to work. If you don't know the anointing of Christ is within your life this day, what are you doing? So you're just playing a religious game. This is not a religious social club. This is about learning about God so we can accomplish the things God has placed within our lives. That's what it's about. Okay? But notice that David remained in the wilderness. Even though he was chosen, he was there, wasn't he? Still in the wilderness. Let me see if I can read a verse to you real quick. Galatians chapter 4. Listen to what I'm saying here. But I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differs nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all. Did you hear that? Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, and the word child here is nepios, which means simple-minded, non-speaking, immature Christian. That's what the language says it is. This is Galatians chapter 4, verse 1. He's a child, non-speaking, immature. He differs nothing from a servant or a slave, though he be Lord of all. But in this way he is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. Even so we, even in this way we, when we were nepios, or simple-minded, immature Christians, were in bondage or in slavery under the first principles of the cosmos. The first principles of discipline under the cosmos. We were under the law, in other words, weren't we? When we're children, we're under the law. When we grow up, guess what? We're not. We're under the law of love now. Okay? So, where to leave off? Oh, verse 14. I'm in 14. And David remained in the wilderness of Ziph. Does anybody know what the word Ziph means? It means a place of battlement. A place of war. Do you know what God said about David? He was a bloody man. He was a man of wars. Why he could not enter the kingdom of God? He could not build the kingdom, could he? He couldn't build the tabernacle of God. Because he was bloody. He's trying to tell you in your progression that when you start out, you truly are anointed. David was truly anointed, wasn't he? But he still had things that had not been worked out in his thinking process. So, in your progression of going through this thing, guess what happens? Things are revealed to you that you still have a nature in you to take life from someone instead of giving life. Does anyone ever relate to that? That we still have violence and anger in us at times? See? In our progression, we have violence and anger. That's not giving us an okay to stay there. It's an okay to recognize it's there and deal with it. Hear me? There's a time coming when things will be exposed to us that we don't want to hear. We don't want to see them. We don't want to know. I'm a Christian, they say. I can't be bad because I'm saved. Well, who else could be so mean and vile as Christians? Yeah. What are they saved from? Nothing. Because their mind is the very corrupt thing he's talking about. And they have the same mind that they started with. Okay? But David stayed in this land of Ziph, the wilderness, the place of testing of Ziph. And Saul, that carnal mind, sought him every day. Remember what I said a while ago? When's the carnal mind going to attack you? Every day. From the time you get up till you go to bed. But what do you have to say about that? Remind them that I don't have a problem with him because he's not my enemy, he's God's enemy. God will take care of him. The battle's the Lord's, isn't it? It's not mine. And that's why David said to Saul when he gets him captured in the next few chapters, when he has an opportunity to slay Saul, and he cut a piece of his garment off. What do you think he's saying? I didn't kill him. I just let you know I had the opportunity to kill you. But see, God is the giver of life, not the taker of life. So if I am in God's nature, I can't take his life. God will deal with that carnal mind, won't he? By the word of God. Okay. But God delivered him not into his hands. Saul sought him every day, but he didn't deliver him into his hands. So who's in control? God chose not to let Saul have David. You know what? Then that's telling me God has made a decision in my life. Saul can't have me. The carnal mind can't have me. You know why? Because he chose me in him before the foundation of the world. Do you hear me? He chose me before the foundation of the world. You've got to know the same thing. that God chose you before the foundation of the world. That means He can't have you. You remember what Jesus preached in the Gospels? He said, "Hey, Peter, Satan has desired you to sift you as wheat. But don't worry, I prayed for you. And when you get strengthened, strengthen the brethren." When you get saved, rather, or delivered, you strengthen the brethren. When you get straightened up, you strengthen the rest of them. Same patterns. And David saw that Saul was come out to seek his life, and David was in the place of testing, the wilderness of war, in where? Zip means war, but where was it at? It's in humanity, in the woods, in the forest, see? In humanity is where all this testing is taking place, within us. Not external, but internal. It's taking all that going on inside of us. And Jonathan, Saul's son, arose and went to David in humanity. He was still in the wood and strengthened his hand in God. What's that trying to say? When Jonathan went to David, he strengthened his works in God, didn't he? He supported his works in God in strength. And he said to him, "Fear not, because the hand of Saul my father shall not find you, and you shall be king," or "you shall reign over Israel." What is Jonathan actually doing? He's prophesying and reinforcing what God has already said to him. When Samuel anointed David king over Israel, what was the purpose of doing that? Did he have just too much oil and he had to get rid of some of it? What was the purpose of the oil being poured on David's head? It was a mark of acceptance, or a mark that God had chosen this man to rule over Israel. So when Jonathan comes by and said, "Don't worry, Saul's not going to get you, you are going to rule," what was he doing? He was reinforcing what God had already spoke to David. He was bringing a witness of the prophetic word coming to him. Okay? He was bringing that word to him. Okay? Where am I at? 17. And he said to him, "Fear not, for the hand of Saul my father shall not find you, and you shall be king or rule over Israel, and I shall be what?" The word next literally says this: "I shall be second in rank to you, and that also Saul my father knows." See, he said, "I'll be second in rank." That's what the language says. I don't think Jonathan made that, did he? Did Jonathan accomplish what he said? He added some things to that, didn't he? And they two made a covenant before the Lord, or in the presence of the Lord, and David abode in the wood, or in humanity, and Jonathan went to his place. And then came up the Ziphites. You know what the Ziphites is? The language says they are smelters. They melt iron and brass and steel. What do they do with that stuff? They manufactured weapons of war, is what they did. They made iron swords and spearheads. Okay? He said, so they came to Saul, and Saul is the Edomite, and he was in Gibeah, right, up on the hill in a high place, being comfortable under a shade tree. He says, "Does not David hide himself with us in strongholds in the wood," or in the forest of humanity, "in the hill of Hachilah?" In the hill of what? Hachilah means darkness. So he's hid in the wood of humanity, or the darkness of carnality, which is on the south, or the comfortable side of the wilderness. Jezimon means wilderness or desert. So David's hid himself in humanity behind the darkness, or on the hill of darkness or carnality. And it's a comfortable place to be in the flesh. See, you're on the south side. South speaks of comfort. You're on the south side of the desert. He's not really in the desert, is he? He's on the south side of it. "Now therefore, O king, come down according to all the desires of your soul. Come down, and our part shall be to deliver him into the king's hand." So who's that sound like? Judas? Huh? Didn't Judas do the delivering? Okay. And David being a type of Christ. And Saul said, "Blessed be ye of the Lord, for you have compassion on me." That sounds like the Pharisees to me, the religious carnal mind. You have compassion on me. Where's all the thoughts in this thing? It's back on self. You're blessed because you've been good to me. If you do good things to me, God will bless you. Me. I, me, my, and mine. So he says, Saul says to him, "Go, I pray you, prepare yet and know and see his place where his haunt is, or his where his feet are, or where he's actually at. Who has seen him there? Because it is told me that he deals very subtly." Saul's mind was very skeptical. And there's nothing wrong with looking at things thoroughly, but I think you can take it overboard and be very, very skeptical to the point of being obsessed with being skeptical. It comes to the point of fear. You're being controlled by fear. If I become too skeptical, I'm letting the fear of making a mistake or do something wrong control my thoughts versus doing what I'm supposed to do. Huh? And you miss the whole point of the test. "See therefore and take knowledge of all the lurking places where he hides himself, and come you again to me with the certainty, and I will go with you, and it shall come to pass, if he be in the land, that I will search him out throughout all the thousands of Judah." And they arose and went to Ziph before Saul. They went back to the place of war. I wonder where that might be. Right in your head again, the carnal mind. But David and his men were in the wilderness of Maon. You know what the wilderness of Maon means? It means the temple of God. See, David and Christ and his disciples, where were they at? In the temple of God. "Know ye not that you are the temple of the living God?" Correct? "In the plain on the south," or the comfortable side of Jeshimon, the desert, the south side of the desert. Right there, almost in the same place where Saul was. "And Saul and his men," that's the carnal mind, the thoughts, "went to seek him. And they told David wherefore he came down, and therefore he came down to the rock." Hello? Where'd David go? To the rock. But the carnal mind and the thoughts of the mind went to seek David, and therefore he went to the rock. Who is the rock? Absolutely. "And abode in the wilderness," or where? He remained in the place of testing of what? The temple of God. So, what's he really saying? Let me back up this first part of this verse again. Saul and his men, that's the carnal mind. 1 Peter 5:8 says something. "The devil, as a roaring lion, walks around seeking whom he may devour," correct? What do you think Saul represents here? The carnal mind. The old lion, the young lions, went to seek him. They went to seek David to kill him, to kill the Christ. And he went down to the rock. And he remained in the wilderness or testing place of the temple of God. And when Saul heard it, he pursued after David in the wilderness of Maon. What do you think he's doing? When you're in the temple of God, what have you got? You've got peace and total security. Doesn't the book say in Psalms that he is my high tower? He's my shield in my high tower. And they that run into it, what? Can't get the last word of it. I can't pick it out now. But he's our high tower and our shield, right? But that's God's plan, that the carnal mind pursue into the temple. Well, let me show you a picture of the temple, okay? Let's look at the picture of the Old Testament temple when this was written. If you're pursuing someone into the temple, the first thing you're going to see when you come there, you're going to come into something, you're going to see something right there in the front. What is it? It's called the brazen altar. Guess what happens there? The blood sheds there. So you, when that carnal mind follows Christ and his thought process, his mind, into the temple, guess what's going to happen to that carnal mind? there's going to be some bloodshed there. It's going to be a great slaughter. Remember we started out that there was a slaughter of that beastly nature? Well, the beastly nature can't get past the outer court because it's slaughtered on the brazen altar. Then we got the laver to wash us up, right? Then we go into the table, we go into the candlestick and the table of showbread and the altar of incense and into the Ark of the Covenant. But see, the carnal mind can't get beyond the outer court. Correct? And if you read the book of Revelation, it says don't measure the outer court. It's turned over. It's all out of there now. We don't have to worry about that. The sacrifice has been done away with. He was the final sacrifice. I can't remember. It could be. He that runs the high tower and he saves me from the violence. Because I'm in him, see? There's the key. And Saul went on this side of the mountain and David went on the other side of the mountain. And David made haste to get away from the presence, where it says, for the fear of Saul is incorrect words. It said he hastened to get away from the presence. It's the word panim, 6440 in the Strong's. He did it to get away from the presence of Saul, not for fear, because Saul and his men compassed David and his men round about to take them. Now, if you are a doom and gloom preacher, this is about where you say you're just about had it. And that's where some people get, and when the pressure gets hard, they say, oh God, give up, let's compromise. Okay? But they that wait upon the Lord will renew their strength, won't they? Okay? Look what happens here. It looks pretty bad. David's trapped in the wilderness. He's in this mountain, and he's all trapped. But look what happens. Verse 28, or verse 27. But there came a messenger to Saul. There came a thought process into your mind saying, haste you, come down, because the Philistines have invaded the land. Guess what the carnal mind's going to do? The carnal mind is always going to protect one thing. What is it? Self. The carnal mind always goes after self. So when anybody attacks the carnal mind, that's where their aggression is turned to. Protection of self, and let the other guy go for right now. We got to take care of self. It's always self-centered or self-serving, their thought process. Therefore, Saul returned from pursuing after David and went against the Philistines. Therefore, they called that place and give me grace and mercy on saying this word. This is a big one, isn't it? Selah ham-ma-li-kah. And don't ask me to say it three times real fast. Okay? But you know what that means? It's a rock of escape or a rock of refuge. Guess what we're talking about? Christ. See, this place, when he was delivered, when it looked like he was already surrounded and ready to be defeated, God brought about the victory by the Spirit of God. Okay? It's the rock of escape, which is Christ. And David went up from there and dwelt in strongholds at En-Gedi. Now, after David has experienced all these things, and after you and I have experienced all these things, this last verse is so revealing. Listen to what this last verse says. And David went up from there and dwelt in the strongholds at En-Gedi. Does anyone know what En-Gedi means? It literally means a fountain or a spring of the goats. Goats. Very, very revealing. David was still not partaking of the water of the lamb. He was partaking of the word of the goat. He was still trying to draw from the beastly nature. I'm telling you, this is not an easy walk. Do you hear what I'm saying? Even after all that God has done for him, and God just delivered him when he was totally surrounded, he still reached back to the water of the goat. He's still partaking from the word of the beast nature. The fears and the things that we pass through every day, he's still taking them. This is not condemnation. This is not guilt. He's only showing you that you're still in a process. So we have not arrived yet. So contrary to what everybody preaches, that you're God, No, you're not God. You're a son of God in the processing. And just like I read to you in Galatians 4, though you're an heir, you're no different. You differ nothing from a servant or a slave, do you? See? As long as you're a child, as long as your mind and your thinking process is childish, you will never truly be the heir. You've got to grow up. God's not going to give the rule and authority of the kingdom of God into a child's hand, is He? Hello? So we got to grow up. This is another part of the continuing saga of David's life, and you could just say it's your life. Okay? Strife brings you to maturity, doesn't it? Does that mean you go out and embrace something and start trouble? No, you don't have to start trouble. Trouble will find you. It will chase you down, won't it? You got to know. How do you think David felt while he was in this cave being assaulted by Saul? Do you think he felt like he was lonely? He was anointed king. He knew who he was. But he knew intellectually who he was, but he really didn't have the spirit of this thing yet. No peace yet, because he was still in a place of war, see? He was with them Zeps or Zips or whatever they were. Like them Zippos, we'll call them Zippos. Like lighters, Bob. See? They went to the land of Zip, didn't they? Z-I-P-H, huh? Yep. They were people that made the weapons of warfare. And guess what? They're fashioned in here, right in our mind. This is all an internal thing. Man, when you begin to see this, you're encouraged because you don't say, oh God, I failed again. No, you say, okay, I see. I see now that I have made a mistake, but through that mistake I've learned a lesson. Yep. And didn't Paul write in the book, say, our weapons are not carnal? Our weapons are not carnal, but they're mighty to the pulling down of strongholds, talking of your mind again. See, it's pulling down these thought processes that exalt themselves against the knowledge of God. It's a wonderful thing to be able to see these things. It's a wonderful thing. It's a process. Okay? I'm done. Anybody got comments or things to add? Questions?